Luke 14, verse 16, and said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great parable. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and walking this earth, for dying for our sins, but Lord, for also spending 3 years performing miracles and raising the dead and teaching us so many important things. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we look at this parable, Lord, that we'll be able to understand its prophetic significance, but also, Lord, its practical application. And I pray that you'd help us to be a people, Lord, with a burden to bring in those whom we've been commanded to bring in. Just give us a great evening, Lord. I pray that you do something in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to just draw from this parable several truths that I think are just wonderful. They're remarkable. And I think they're very pertinent to the planning of a day like our 35th anniversary and homecoming coming up on May 11th. Let me just say this first of all. I think one of the greatest phrases in this entire parable is found at the end of verse number 17. Because at the end of verse number 17, it says, come, for all things are now ready. Brother Jerry, why have a big day? I'll tell you why we have a big day. Because God has completed, made ready everything that a person needs in order to be saved. Everything. He said this. He sent his servant at supper time to them, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And you know what? This wasn't a pitch-in dinner. He didn't send his servants out and say, now listen, I've made some of it. Now you go tell the people to come, but they need to bring a covered dish. You know, these weren't Baptists. No, he didn't say to bring anything. He said, just bring you. Well, Lord, you want me to make some yeast rolls? No, it's all ready. Well, I feel bad. Can I bring some? No. Well, let me know. And folks, when it comes to salvation, you know what? You just have to come because God's done all the work. That's exciting. You know, that's the purpose of having a big day. That's the purpose of going out in the highways and hedges. Listen, folks, the plan of salvation, the message that we're supposed to bring is a simple one. Come, for all things are now ready. God's done everything. He's completed salvation. He's got it all waiting for you. Matter of fact, not only can you not come and bring something with you, but you should not come. You cannot come with something in your hand. You must come empty-handed. You must come empty-handed. And so let's first of all talk about this. We have a great invitation to take. We have a great message to share. And that's this. God has completed and has ready everything necessary for a person's soul to be saved and for them to be directed to heaven. That's good news. That's good news. Now, it's becoming it's upon us. Even though Jesus made salvation ready, even though He did everything that was necessary on Calvary's cross and through the resurrection to provide not only forgiveness of sins, but an opportunity for eternal life. Even though it's done, let me just say this. Jesus Christ is not going to come back to earth and personally go and tell that story to any one single individual. Let me give you the quick reminder of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took the fish and the barley loaves. He blessed it. he break it, but he did not take 1 ounce of food to the multitude. He gave it to disciples, and the disciples took it to the multitude. And you know what that's telling me and it's telling you is we've got a job to do. We've got a job to do. Folks, Jesus Christ has died on Calvary's cross and provided salvation. But he has commissioned the Church of Jesus Christ. He's commissioned every Christian to be involved in getting the gospel to the lost, getting people the message that, hey, come, just come. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. Now, we're going to talk about this matter of us and our efforts and trying to get people to come in just a second. But let me just tell you this. First of all, we've got a great message, and the message has come for all things are now ready. Number two, anybody that's involved in trying to take that message out is going to be confronted with excuses. Now, I see a lot of people nodding their head. You know why? Because in this church, there's a lot of people that are involved in trying to get people saved. But if you're not, let me just give you an education. If you're tempted to start, and by the way, you ought to start. But let me just prepare you properly. The first person you ask is probably not going to come. And the second person you ask is probably not going to come. And the third person you ask is not going to come. So if you're a three strikes and out guy, you're not going to ever bring anybody to church. No, honestly. See, this takes persistence. This takes somebody that's unflappable. This takes somebody that's not easily discouraged. I mean, I promise you that if you go out and you pick any street and you knock on doors and you talk to people who don't go to church and you ask them, you will receive far more excuses than you will promises to be there. You know, that song that the Walkers sang the other day, I thought that was so funny. And you know, anybody that's been visiting for very long, you can sit there and relate to every phrase in that song, you know. And it's amazing, you know, the things that people come up with to try to convince you that it's impossible for them to come to church. I like that little phrase about large crowds make me nervous, or I can't be in large crowds. And then you go by on a Saturday night and they're sitting out at the ballpark amongst more people than there would be in Bloodsoke Baptist Church. You know, the truth is, it's just an excuse. You know, they're always trying to find some foolproof excuse that you can't challenge. But God challenges every excuse. And so, number one, we've got a great message to take. And the message is that Jesus Christ has paid it all. It is finished. It's done. It's ready. Just come and receive it. Number two, when you go, you're going to get excuses. Excuse. Let me tell you about these excuses. Every excuse that you hear is silly. Every one of these excuses are silly excuses. And I'm not going to teach down through them. You've heard it preached and taught, but, you know, number one, the guy says, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Silly. How many of you in here bought a piece of ground ever in your life without seeing it? You may have. But I think that'd be the exception to the rule. If you did, you may have ended up with some oceanfront property in Arizona. I'm just going to give you a little piece of advice, and I'm no genius on this, but I'd go look at it. Before I hand it over the money, you might want to go look at it. You know, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I could approve them. You know, you never went and test drove them? You never went and tried them out? You never even looked at them? You didn't check their hooves or their teeth or whatever you check on an oxen? Check the mileage? Make sure, you know, they're not crippled, they're not diseased, they've actually been fed some in the last couple of years, they're not skin and bones. I mean, wouldn't you think, you know what it is? Silly. How many of you, before you got saved, made excuses about not coming to church, why you shouldn't come to church? But boy, they sounded intelligent to you, didn't they? But the person inviting you, they might have smiled and been kind to you, but down deep they're thinking, you know what, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, I can't come to church and hear the gospel so that I can find out how to have eternal life and go to heaven because I got to go to the ballpark or I've got a picnic. It's my only day off. So I'm just going to take it and go on to hell. You know, I mean, for anybody that understands the Bible, any excuse is a silly excuse. You know, silliness. At least the third guy was honest. He was honest enough to admit that he was henpecked. I asked her, but she said no, so sorry. So excuses, they're silly or they're wimpy. One of the two, they're either silly or wimpy. Excuses are. But that's part of what's taught here. Folks, listen to me. If you get excited about our anniversary, you get excited about this spring New Life campaign, if you get in the inviting business, you've got to understand excuses is part of it. And what you've got to do is just keep asking anyway. You've got to go back again and again and again. You've got to call again and again and again. You've got to have more invitations than they have excuses. And don't let them wear you out. You wear them out. Just decide you're going to keep going back till, you know what, and praying and asking God to tenderize your heart. And don't give up! Now, I'm talking about somebody in here, and you thinking already, God's talking to you, and He's knocked on your heart's door. And you know why you haven't gone back that fourth time? Because you've always said, well, I've asked them three times. Then go four. Then go five. Then go six. Then go seven. But you're going to run into a lot of excuses. The first three people say no, then go to the fourth person. Go to the fifth person. Go to the sixth person. Go to the seventh person. But it takes persistence to get people to the supper. It takes persistence to get them to the supper. Now, notice verse 21. Let's get on down to the meat of the message. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And just a couple things about this. But you know what? I think excuses makes God mad. You know, that's what it says here. The master got angry. I think lost people's excuses anger God. I think saved people's excuses angers God. I think any time we're in the excuse-making business about why we should not or cannot do what we should do, I don't think God is very pleased with that. Now, folks, listen to me. The lost people make excuses about not coming to church, and saved people make excuses about not asking lost people to come to church. But you know what? I don't know. I can, you know, folks, I think of the two, the saved person has the more diabolical set of excuses. Because we know we're saved. We know. Man, they don't know. Maybe they don't know the importance of it. They don't understand the importance of it, but we know. Let's just say this. Excuses in general just make God angry. He's not happy about it. So now God opens the door wider. At first, I think He gave an invitation list. By the way, what this is teaching is that He went to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. This is what the parable is teaching, the Jews first and then the Gentiles. But you know, the Jewish people had excuses. And by the way, thank God, or we may not have got an invitation. And don't get too proud of yourself. You were part of that poor, maimed, halt, and blind crowd. I mean, that's it. That's the Gentiles. That's it. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're a mess. Sounds like the membership role in most independent fundamental Baptist churches. Amen. We're talking about spiritually, folks. We were spiritually poor. We were maimed by sin. We were crippled by sin. We were blinded by the devil. Somebody came and said, come on, there's a free supper. Amen. There's a free supper. Come on. Come on. Something is there that'll heal you and help you and take care of you and strengthen you. And you know what God said, you know what the master was saying here? He was saying, go to the people who know they have a need. Go find the people who know they have a need. Maybe they don't know what the answer to their need is, but you know what? They've got enough real life problems and they realize they can't do this by themselves anymore and they need help. They need help. So thank God, God sent the servants out to look for us. Then verse 22 says this, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded and yet there is room. Now, let me just give you the next statement here, the next truth here. We're just going down through here and just kind of pulling some things out. I know I'm skipping over a few things that are awfully good, but we've got to watch the time. I've got to get through some things here, but I like this. Let me give you another thought. God's not satisfied with a three-quarters full auditorium. Brother Jerry, I hear you from time to time make comments about, you know, the Wood family. There's too much wood in here. You know what? I wouldn't be a very good Christian if it didn't bother me that this place isn't packed. And you're not much of a Christian if it doesn't bother you. Bus captain, I understand you're going to have good Sundays, bad Sundays, promising Sundays, Sundays where it seems like everybody on your route decided to go to Aunt Susie's on the same weekend. But if you can ride into church on a half-filled bus, week in and week out, and it doesn't bother you, then you're not much Christian. Now, honestly, you're not much Christian. Yeah, honestly. You know, if nothing else, it just bothered me because of being a poor steward. Well, they were paying $3 and a quarter if the diesel buses, $4, just to transport people back and forth. That bothered me. I hope it starts bothering you enough to stay out there and visit some. I hope it bothers you enough to stop doing drive-by regulars-only visitation. No, I'm just here to tell you, God's not happy with six full seats and 50 empty seats. Are you listening to me? Sunday school teachers, it may not bother you a bit that you walk in there every week and you've got a half-full Sunday school classroom, but you're not much Christian if it doesn't bother you. Now, this needs to be said. What we need to do, folks, is decide that we're not going to get satisfied. The servant came back and said, "Listen, Lord, it's done half thou hast commanded, and yet there's room," which means he did get some folks to come, but there was still room. So what did the master say? "Good job. Go on, sit down, enjoy the meal. You know, you did the best you could. God bless you." No, he didn't. It says, "And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full." Say, "Brother Jerry, how many people does God want in heaven?" He wants them all. He wants a full house. How many people you want in this church? I want as many as can fit. I want to keep stuffing them in until the fire marshal comes and shuts us down. And then I guess we'll just have to build. And folks, I think one of the most dangerous things in the world is to just get satisfied. You know, we're doing pretty good. We've got a pretty good number. We've got some pretty good group of ministries. You know, Brother Jerry, listen, folks, listen. I'm telling you. If you were looking for a satisfied preacher, you should have kept looking before you voted this one in. If you're looking for a guy that's okay with some, yet there's room, I'm not okay with it. I'm not happy with it. I don't like it. And you know what? It motivates me to get out and work harder. It motivates me to go out and make that extra visit, make that other phone call, Go see that other person. And listen, folks, we cannot stop reaching out. We cannot decide that, you know what, it's a job of 10% of Blessed Baptist Church to be in the visiting business, to be in the soul winning business, to be in the invitation business, try to get people to come in the door. We can't get into that mentality. Are you listening to me? We cannot get into that mentality. We've got to decide that every one of us have a responsibility to see to it that people are being invited on a regular basis to come to the house of God, that the story is being told, that the invitation's out there. Come, come, for all things are now ready. Come, 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 you see. So God's not happy. I'm going to tell you, if any preacher's worth his salt, I mean, when we go on visitation, when I go to preach in other churches, when I go to visit another church that's having special meetings, first thing I do as a preacher is I look around at how much room is there, how many people is there, and there's something inside of me that says, "Man, you know what? They just need to fill this place up." And I want that to be your heartbeat. I want it to be your heartbeat. And that's one of the main purposes of this story. Listen, folks, listen. "Well, Brother Jerry, I've got some to come." Well, that's good that you got some to come. God's glad that you got some to come. But the house isn't full. Now, prophetically, what I believe this is talking about is we're supposed to keep reaching and working and soul winning until that last person is saved and the bride of Jesus Christ is complete. But you know what? Y'all still here and I'm here. I'm assuming that hasn't happened yet, all right? I don't think that's happened yet. So we're still supposed to go out tomorrow and try again, the next day and try again, and the next day and try again, the next day and try again. And so this is the mentality that we need to have. This is the heart that we need to have, the vision we need to have. Folks, planning a big day and asking the church to stretch, asking the Sunday school teachers to go the extra mile, asking bus workers to go the extra mile, asking the general membership to get involved and to get busy and to do something. And listen, these type of things good for the Church of Jesus Christ. I like big days. I think big days are important. I think every once in a while we need to be challenged to go above and beyond what our norm is. It prevents us from just getting satisfied. This is good enough. We're doing all right. No, we're not. Let's try to go somewhere we haven't gone before. Let's try to do something we haven't done before. Let's try to reach some people we've never reached before. Let's not get complacent. Let's not get complacent. Now, will end up by saying this. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. And the last thing I want to point out to you is that little word compel, C-O-M-P-E-L, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled, and compel them to come in. Now notice what the pattern is here. You go and you compel. You go and you compel. That word compel is a strong word. Folks, let me just say this. You look it up. You do the word study on it. It's a lot stronger than ask them. There's a difference between me trying to ask one of these young men to do something and me compelling them to do it. And the difference is I might nonchalantly ask one of these young men to do something, but if they didn't do it, I'd just let it go. But if I'm going to compel them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay on eye contact. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to use everything that I've got inside of me to throw whatever weight I can to help move them and get them to do what I've asked them to do. Okay? There's a difference between you asking Junior to take the trash out and compelling Junior to take the trash out. And I think that what this is telling us, you say, Brother Jerry, I can't put a gun to their head. I know. But we sometimes give up too easily. There's a difference between inviting and compelling. Bus workers, there's a difference between going to that new house and asking those kids to come and compelling them kids to come. There honestly is. Okay, I was a bus captain for a lot of years. I'm not telling you something I read in a book. I'm telling you something I've done. And what you've got to have is some tenacity about you. Well, I asked them once and they said no. And I just look at you like, so? So? What, so? And you want to stand before God and you want to, that's it? That's all the answer you want to give? Because I tried once and they said no? Listen, if one person would have tried once with you only, would you be sitting here? Or does somebody have to come after you and come after you and come after you and compel you and compel you and compel you and pray for you, badger you a little bit, irritate you a little bit? Now, I mean, I can tell you the story about my mean mother slamming the door in Jerry Purcell's face. I can tell you stories. You know, thank God that the Purcells were compellers. They weren't just inviters, they were compellers. Well, Brother Jerry, I'm afraid I'm going to scare them off. Where are you going to scare them? Hell number two? Hell number three? Where are you going to scare them to? You know what all that is? Excuses. You know, you can be kind about it, but you know, you can be persistently kind. You can be nice about it. You can be persistently nice about it and keep bringing it up, keep inviting, and keep compelling them. Now, what I'm saying is this. I think God gets blamed for a lot of things that He didn't have anything to do with. Well, I prayed about it, and I tried, but they didn't come. I prayed about it and tried, and they didn't come. It's almost like we throw that little prayer in it like we want to get God part of the blame on that. I think God says this, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And all of those are in the linear tense. It means ask, seek, knock. Doesn't mean do it once and give up. It means be persistent. Well, they got mad at me last time. Well, go for two. Man, nobody's really mad if you just got them mad once. I mean, it takes five or six real good mad before they're really mad. So just go ahead. I'm going to tell you right now, Tom Daffron would starve to death if he tried to sell cars like some of you try to invite people to church. He's back there smiling because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. That's right, isn't it, Brother Tom? You've had those salesmen come and go. You know, the nice guys, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, ask once, and then comes over and sits at the desk, twiddles their thumb again. They'll never make a second call or a third call or a fourth call or a fifth call. They don't last in the business very long. And you know, thing is, folks, we got something more important than selling a car here. We're trying to get people to the to the supper. We're trying to get them into the house. We're trying to get them to understand the supper's ready. It's there. It's waiting. It's there. Now come on! Come on! And so that's what we're talking about. And that's one of the reasons we have Spring New Life campaigns. That's why we have our Fall Harvest Days. That's why we have our big days. That's why we have special events. You know what it is? It's a way of trying to motivate the church. I'm just telling you right now. Say, Brother John, I don't like programs. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll never have another one, another big day, if you just every Sunday of your life will do what I'm talking about right now. But the honest truth is, we are humans, and we do sometimes need motivation. We do need something that stirs us, and we need something that gets us out of our complacency. And I really will tell you this. I believe this. I've said it for years. I've heard it said, and I've repeated it. And I think that bus promotion's more for the workers than it is the riders. Not a matter of giving you something to try to get the kids excited. I'm trying to give you something to get you excited. Because if you get excited, those kids will get excited. You get excited over a peanut butter sandwich. If you get excited enough, they'll get excited about it. What I'm saying is, folks, what we need to do is understand the bigness of what we're doing. And we need to let that happen in our hearts and let God do something in our hearts. And so this matter of compelling them, it's a strong word. It literally means take them by the elbow and accompany them. It means bring them. It means go find them and guide them, steer them, work on them. Now, don't mug them. You know, I don't want the big day to come and have five or six people tied up here laying on the altar. You know, well, Brother Jerry, they wouldn't come, so I just made sure they did, you know. Take the gag out of their mouth. They can't breathe, you know. Well, wait till I'm done preaching, and then I don't want to disturb the message. But I'd have more respect for that than somebody never would go ask. You see, and so compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God likes full houses. God likes full buses. God likes full Sunday school room. And you know what we're doing? I'm telling you, why are you building that building? Why do we raise all that money? So we got more rooms to fill. We can reclaim a whole bottom level, and we can subdivide it into Sunday school classes. We can fill rooms. We can divide Sunday school classes that need to be divided, start new ones that need to be started, reach people we haven't reached yet. God help Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we get to the point where we're satisfied. God help us. Oh, Brother Jerry, but we run more than any other independent fun little Baptist church in this area. Well, let's just hang our hat on that, sit there and pat ourselves on the back and let the world go to hell. You know what the Bible says? Comparing ourselves or amongst ourselves, it's not wise. God's not interested in whether or not we are running more than somebody down the road or somebody across the county. He didn't care a hoot about that. All He wants to know is, are we doing everything we can do? Are we maximizing our potential for the Lord Jesus Christ? So having said all that, I want to stir your hearts a little bit, because let me tell you how big days work. Let me tell you the reason that you can have in a church some success in getting people to come. Every bit of success on a big day in a spring program, fall harvest day, every bit of success, or the amount of success that you experience is dependent on two things. I believe, number one, the number of people that you can get praying, the number of people you can get praying, and number two, the number of people you can get working. Number of people you can get praying, number of people you get working. That's it. That's a simple formula. Pray and work. Pray and work. Well, let's not make it any complicated. It's not complicated. You pray and then you go to work. And you pray some more and you work. Then you work, and while you're working, you're praying. While you're visiting, you're praying. While you're knocking on doors, you're praying. Before you pick up the phone, you put your hand on it and beg God to help you say something that makes them say yes and pick the phone up, make that call one more time. You work at it, but you also pray. Pray and work. That's the formula. That's the formula. That's what I want to try to involve you in. Our Sunday school classes, by the way, we've got this all printed out, and I'm not going to give them to you because I know how you are. I know how I am. And I'd be reading it instead of paying attention, so I'm going to assume that some of you are like me. But we'll make those available on the way out the door so that you Sunday school teachers will have these. But we're going to set some goals for our big day. Let me give those goals to you. Sunday school teachers, listen up. And by the way, if you're a member of these classes, listen up. In our adult class, we want to have in our adult class on May 11th, we want to have 105 in our adult class. We've been averaging somewhere around 75 people in our adult class. We want to have 105. 9th through 12th boys, I'd like to see 30 young men, 9th through 12. Girls, 9th through 12, 15. What I've done is taken most of your average attendance for the year so far and doubled it. pretty close to double it. Some of them I didn't quite double. 7 through 8 boys, 14. 7 through 12 girls, and by the way, you'll get all these figures later. They're printed out for you. 7th and 8th girls, 7th through 8th girls, it's wrong on here, wrong. I think you'll figure it out. 7th through 8th girls, 15. 5th and 6th grade boys, 15. 5th and 6th grade girls, 25. 3rd and 4th graders, poor brother Charles. 3rd and 4th graders, 46. 46. You know, they average almost 30. That's incredible. We need a 3rd grade class, a 4th grade class. We needed it for how long, brother Charles? A long time. But thank you for your faithfulness. He teaches a bunch of kids every single week. 2nd graders, 25. 1st graders, 35. I can't imagine being in a room with 35 1st graders. I can't imagine that. Perish the thought. Who's the teacher of that first? God bless you. Wow. Wow. Pray for Sister Laura Beller. 4 and 5 year olds. This is worse. 4 and 5 year olds, 40. 40 4 and 5 year olds. Amazing. One of the biggest classes we have here every Sunday is 4 and 5 year olds. One of the biggest classes we have every Sunday, 4 and 5 year olds. Unbelievable. If they ever got mad and pulled out, they'd start their own church. That's why we try to keep them happy. 2 and 3 year olds. 23, 2 and 3 year olds. Hey, man. Nursery. Get those nursery kids out visiting. We need 12 people in a nursery class. Get them out visiting. Get them out there knocking on doors. Get Max out there inviting. Now, hey, Brother Jerry, if everybody hits their goal for their Sunday school class, what will that be? That will allow us to have 400 in attendance during our Sunday school hour. 400 in attendance during our Sunday school. I thought you wanted to have 500. We're coming to that. I'll be honest with you. I could have set higher goals for our Sunday school teachers. And I could have set higher goals than I'm going to give you for our bus routes. But if we're going to reach 500 folks, we can't just sit back and say, let the Sunday school teachers do it and let the bus workers do it. And if we did, it'd be wrong. So I would like the Sunday school hour, our Sunday school, 9:30 Sunday school hour, I'd like to shoot to have 400 here. That means I'd like to have another 100 people come in for our 10:30 service. And we always have that. Now, I've always wished that folks would come to Sunday school and church, but the honest truth is a lot of times the first-time visitor will come to one service, they won't come to both. So I'd like to see 100 people walk in between Sunday school and church, 100 people. Now, let me first of all, before I go there, give you the bus goals. And what I've done, again, is taken your average attendance and about doubled them. And so it's going to take some work. These aren't gimmies, but Duggar Route, 90. Jasonville, 40. Linton, 60. Shelburne, 50. Worthington, 40. Every one of these bus routes, if they hit that, they've done something. They've prayed and worked. They've prayed and worked if they're going to do that. Now, that would be 280 on the buses on that Sunday, 280. So, Brother Jerry, you want 500. And the reason I set those goals the way it is what I just said a minute ago. I don't want this to be a 500 bus ministry day. It shouldn't just be bus ministry that's involved in it. Now, if the bus ministry wants to surprise me and have 500, that'd be all right. That's all right. But let's add to that. But that's 280 on the buses, 280 on the buses, 400 total in Sunday school. And understand, folks, that those goals there are not just bus kids. The attendance you see on the board is not just bus kids. A lot of our adults, the workers on the route, a large percentage of that is workers. So that's, don't say, well, they had 280 on buses and 400 in attendance, so they only have 120 drive-in people. That's not accurate, okay? But that's what we're setting, 280 on buses for that day. You say, well, Brother Jerry, how do we get the rest of the people to come in? I want you to listen to me, because next Sunday morning, I'm going to recap this during the Sunday morning service. But many of you during the Sunday morning service is going to be out doing other things. That's what I'm talking to you about tonight. But I'm just going to briefly recap this during our Sunday morning service. And I'm going to challenge every single person that's here on Sunday morning to get involved in this. This isn't just a Wednesday night crowd project. This is going to be a Sunday morning crowd. Everybody that walks in the door, it's going to involve everybody. But I can take a little more time tonight. And to be honest with you, This is the dedicated crowd. This is the crowd we've got the best chance of getting to do something. However, you'd be shocked how many times a Sunday morning only attendee will respond to something like this and bring 10 people with them. So we're going to use everybody. But folks, what we've got to do is, as the Wednesday night crowd, the core group of Blessed Hope, is to say, you know what, anything that happens like that's gravy. What we've got to do is commit ourselves to doing what we need to do here. Now, I want to pass out next Sunday morning commitment cards. Now, listen carefully what I want you to write down on these commitment cards. I want you to write down a number on this commitment card, and the number I want you to write down is a number of drive-in visitors that you are going to set as a goal in your life between now and May 11th to pray and ask God to help you to reach and to bring that Sunday morning. Now, this entire year, the theme has been all about prayer. And I don't think there's anything more exciting than to say, Lord, I'm going to ask you very specifically for something. And then I'm going to ask you to help me as I work towards it. But I understand, Lord, that I plant, I water, you must give increase. And you become a co-laborer with God trying to achieve something personally in your life for the Lord. Now, I don't know what that number is. I'm going to give you some figures here. But I don't know what that number is. And I want you to think about it. That's why I'm not passing the cards out now. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to pass the card out to everybody that's in the auditorium, fifth grade on up, everybody in the auditorium. And I'm going to say, I want you to write down a number. This is teenagers. This is for teenagers. This is for fifth and sixth graders. This is for everybody. By the way, this is for even the younger ones. I would love to see you get involved in this. I've watched bus kids just shock the daylights out of me. I've watched elementary kids walk in with 20 visitors. It's just, how much do you want to do? What do you want to ask God for? What kind of miracle would you like to see? And so this is between you and God. You know, let me just share this with you. For some people, bringing one visitor is as large accomplishment in their life or where they're at with the Lord in growth than it would be for someone else to bring 10. That's the honest truth. That is the honest truth. You get somebody that's never brought a visitor in their life, and they come on the big day and they brought their first time one visitor, and they were shy and they were backwards and they've never done this before, and they got the courage and the conviction to do it, and God blessed it, and they walk in. I'm as proud of that person as somebody that walks in with 10 visitors. And so it's not a matter of a contest trying to be better than somebody. It's a matter of just all of us doing what we can for the Lord. Now, let me just give you some ideas. I'm going to throw some things out because I want to broaden your vision. I'd like to have at least 10 individuals in our church next Sunday morning. At least 10 individuals in our church next Sunday morning write down in either an individual or a couple might take this on as a project, a married couple. Write down and say, Brother Jerry, I'm going to ask God to help me to pray and work towards bringing 10 drive-in visitors. What I mean by drive-in visitors is bus ministry, listen to me. When I ask you to put this on the card, I'm not asking for the number of visitors you're trying to get on your bus route. And understand, our bus people are going to have to work very hard in that area, folks. So you may say to me, Brother Jerry, I'm a bus captain or a bus worker, and most of my efforts is going to be in the bus ministry. So I'm going to try to get our bus route to reach its goal, but I will also try to bring 2 drive-in visitors. Do you understand that? And so that morning, you may have as a personal goal to bring 15 kids, new kids on your bus route. I don't want you to write that number down. I want this to be only drive-in visitors. These are people that will come in that door. They didn't come on a bus. They come in here and they sit in the main auditorium because this is the crowd we want to reach. This is the crowd we want to bring. And we have to have this if we're going to reach our goal. Now think about this. If I had 10 people say, I'm going to commit, I'm going to pray, I'm going to invite, I'm going to use my Rolodex, I'm going to call, I'm going to compel, and I'm going to ask God to allow me to walk in with 10 visitors. You got 10 people that will do that, and God bless them, they do it, that's 100 visitors. That's 100 visitors. Now you may have 10 promised and 5 show up. You may have 10 promised and 3 show up. But if you set that as a goal, and if you say, I want to have 10, let me just suggest something to you. If you want to have 10, you probably better get 20 to promise. Bus workers, you may need more than that. You know, you're not going to believe this, but people in Greene County will lie to you. People in Sullivan County, they'll lie to you. They'll tell you they're going to come and not come. Yeah, they will. They will do that. Some of you used to be those liars. So, I get this. If I get 10 people to say, I'm going to work, pray, commit, and ask God to help me, I'm going to bring 10 visitors with me. That's 100 person I visited. What I'd also like is to get 20 people to say, you know what, Brother Jerry, I'm being realistic, and I'm just being honest with you. It would be amazing if I could bring five. If I got 20 people to say, I'll shoot for five visitors, that's 100. 10 bringing 10 is 100. 20 bringing 5 is 100. Get this. If I got 50 people, I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about bus teenagers next Sunday morning. I'm talking about some of you. And just say, Brother Jerry, I don't know about 10, I don't know about 5, but I'm going to pray and ask God to help me bring 2. You know, if I had 50 people say that, that would be 100 visitors. 10 tens is 100, 25s is 100, 52s is 100. That's 300 first-time visitors that we've got to promise, that we've worked on, that we've prayed over, that we've tried to get here. I just think if the church would do this, we'd probably be all right. We'd probably get our goal. Now, listen to this. I'm not just looking for 10, 20, and 50 and say, good, that's 80 people involved in this. I want every single person to at least commit to one. Every single person to say, you know what, I'll be one and I'll bring one. I'll be one and I'll bring one that morning. I'll ask God to give me one. Now, here's what I'm doing. I'm not going to get up next Sunday morning and say, okay, I need 10 of you. I need 10 of you. Who's the 10 that's going to... I'm not going to say a word about that. I need 20. Do 5. No. And I'm going to show you something. What I'm going to show you is this. God knows what He's doing. I'm going to show you is this. If you'll pray about it, God will tell you how many. He may tell you more than 10. He may tell you less than 10. He may tell you 8, 7, 3 and a half. I don't know. Bring a pregnant woman. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What I'm saying is this. If you'll pray about it and ask God, He'll give you a number. He's always given me a number. He's always given me something to be burdened about. Well, brother, I don't like this setting goals. Yeah, I know. How many people have you brought in the last 6 months? You've reached your goal every time. You know, the one you never set? Boy, you're going 100%. I'm glad you feel good about yourself, but you're a stinking failure when it comes to reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's like we're proud of ourselves that we don't set goals and we never try for a certain number. And then we feel good about ourselves for not doing anything. That's a wicked shame. That's a wicked shame. Amen. Yeah, I think it says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Come on now, church. It's not time to pray yet. Stop. Why are you bowing your heads? All right, we're not going anywhere yet. Now honestly, let's do something that I'm not sure another church in this county has done for 100 years. And that's this. Get 100% of the people in a church actually doing something at the same time together with one mind, one heart, in unity, saying, let's just make this thing happen. And what I'm afraid of is if you get, praise God, you get a little taste of that, you may want to come back the next Sunday and just try it again. We might start figuring out at Blessed Hope Baptist Church what this whole thing of the local church was all about. You know, why God has the assembly and why God brings the church together, Christians together, why there's a body of believers and what we can accomplish as a group that we've never accomplished by ourselves. This is the plan of God. The plan of God. So it's an exciting thing. See, a big day is not dependent on what Jerry Ross does by himself. It's just, God, what do you want me to do? And Lord, I'll pray and work towards that. Holy Spirit, I'll be very tender. You let me know, and I want to work towards that. And everybody doing that, and the Holy Spirit, the one orchestrating things, moving in God's people's heart, and causing things to happen. And I can, let me just say this to help you. I don't think God's going to go to one person in this church. Holy Spirit's going to say to one person, what I want you to do on this big day is nothing. Please follow my leading here. Do nothing. Don't invite. Don't call anybody. Don't worry about your family, your friends, your co-workers. Nothing. You know, okay? If you're going to put a zero on your card next Sunday, draw horns on it. Because at least we all will be in agreement where you got that number, amen? No, this is good. It's good for the church. It's good for us. So those are just ideas. What I'm showing you by giving you those examples, if I had 10 people that said, I can write 10 down, I think God will let me, I have faith, I believe it, I've kind of got in my mind who, and I think I can go out, I think God, I know enough people, I think with God's help, God can let me see a miracle and I can get 10 people here. And others say, if I had 20 that said 5 and I had 50 that said 2, or whatever it is amongst there, what I'm saying is all those things add up and accumulate, and God blesses the church's combined efforts to reach a goal, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, let me give you this also, because I need your help on this. Several things we're doing here. The anniversary Sunday, a homecoming. By the way, we're going to have one church-wide. It isn't just a bus promotion. This is a church-wide promotion. If you don't like promotions, would you just hold your ears for a minute? Please don't get a critical spirit. Don't go home and talk about Pastor Jerry. And don't talk about how carnal he is and how wicked he is and all of these things, okay? Even though most of that's true. Don't say that. Don't talk about me like this, all right? But we're going to do a promotion that I think is going to be a blast. And the kids will love it, the teenagers will love it, and I'll love it. And that's really all that matters. The kids and the teens and the preachers are happy, then you know what. So, but it's not, what if I told you this? It's not going to cost us a dime. And the kids will get excited about it. It's not going to cost us a dime. This is what I want to do. I need, listen to this, I need 2 cars. Okay, I need 2 cars. That's it. Okay, they don't have to run. They don't have to have an engine. They don't have to have a transmission. But I want them looking halfway decent. And we're going to park them out here. And we're going to put 2 mannequins in them. You know, test dummies? And we're going to... Some of you are going someplace. I'm not going. I'm not... Then we're going to put a devil mask on the dummies and a red cape. And all over the car, we're going to put little painted signs on the car that says, don't go to church, drink beer, hate God, blah, 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 all this stuff, you know. Then after church, what we're going to do, this is a very simple promotion. By the way, I need these cars donated. I said it was going to cost us nothing. I didn't say it was going to cost you nothing. I said it cost us nothing. Matter of fact, if you've got something like that you've been wanting to get rid of anyway, we'll even give you a receipt for the worth of it as a donation to the church. And we can do that legally. Can I do that legally, brother? I mean, you've seen those places, these charitable organizations that donate your junk car, you know, and I'll even give you a tax write-off if you give it. And some of you, I look what you drove out there. You might as well just give it to us, amen. We're going to start with the people that bring the most visitors. Let's say one kid brings 13 visitors. We put a pair of very specially, you know, rated, heavy-duty safety glasses on them. We hand them a sledgehammer and we say, you get 13 whacks. 13 whacks. I keep having this vision of myself standing on top of the top of a car and the windshield below me. I mean, think about it, guys. You've always wanted to do this. Now, young men, don't go home and practice on your mom and dad's car. That's it. That's the promotion. Smash the record, and we smash the devil. And we'll just have a time. We'll have a good time doing it. It'll be fun. Amen. And if you don't like promotion, we'll let you get in your car and leave before we start. Okay? You can go. I'll wait. I don't want to offend anybody. But that's what we're going to do. So I need 2 cars. Okay? Don't just bring them here and drop them off. Talk to me. This parking lot's going to look like a junkyard. You know, by Wednesday I'll have 45 junk cars out here. All these hillbillies that's been wanting to get rid of that piece of junk back behind the barn is going to be out here. So, of course, that could be fun. Now, let me talk to you about a couple of things. Sunday school classes, attendance goals. Bus route, attendance goals. Drive-in visitor commitments next Sunday morning. So pray about it. Think about it. Say, God, what can we do? What can we do? Lord, give us a number. Let us have something to work for and pray for and try to get. Now, a couple more things. Number one, or number whatever we're on, homecoming. I've done this on purpose. We're having a Blessed Hope Baptist Church 35th anniversary and homecoming. I'm convinced you don't have a church that's in existence for 35 years without having a large group of people that at one time came here as bus kids, came here as teenagers, came here as adults, and they've drifted off, and they don't go to church anymore, or they go to some dead liberal church every once in a while, or even they go to some dead liberal church faithfully. Can I say this just publicly? I'll go on the record. I'm not against anybody proselyting from somebody from a dead liberal church. I would 1,000,000,000 times rather somebody come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church where they're going to hear Bible preaching, they're going to hear the correct gospel, they're going to see something happening, then go to a funeral parlor every Sunday morning, the same 15 people gather and sit around and critique the pastor's message, and he gets up, tiptoes around the tulips, and nobody ever gets saved and nothing's ever done. I want them out of those churches. I'd like to get them back home. Some of them need desperately to come back home. They do. They need to come back home. And so, now, the longer you've been here, the more of those people you know. I want you to do something for me. I want you to brainstorm. And honestly, I want you, everybody in here, to brainstorm. And I want you to say, you know what? Who is it that we know that at one time attended here, came here, rode a bus here, used to be in the youth group, used to be in the Christian school? And the honest truth is, they're either doing nothing or very little. And let's go to them and let's take one of those cards and let's see them and let's say, there's a bunch of people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that would love to see you again. We're having homecoming. Wouldn't it be fun to go back and see some of your old Sunday school teachers, your bus workers? Wouldn't it be neat to go see Pastor Ross? He'd love to see you. Pastor Jerry'd love to see you. Would you this one Sunday, for homecoming Sunday, come and be a part? And don't talk to them about, we're trying to reach 500, that's why we're... Tell them we want them here. Because I don't want them here just to reach 500. I want them here because I want to reclaim them. I want them here because I want to restore them. Say, Brother Jerry, they left for the wrong reason. Well, you know what? They can come back for the right reason. You know, sometimes people that leave for the wrong reason at some point in their life wake up and realize, you know what, as mad as I got at that church, I was a lot better off. The best time of my life spiritually I ever was when I was at Blessed Hope. And maybe I just need to go home. Now, folks, listen to me. Church, listen to me. I don't want one person coming in that back door. And I don't care why they left Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's not treated decent on homecoming Sunday. Yeah, but when they left, they were mad at me, and me and them didn't get along when they were there. Well, you know what? You can come up to the altar and get right with God tonight about that. You're still carrying around bitter feelings about somebody that used to come here. You need to get some. It's not there. Only them's got a problem. It's you's got a problem. And I really believe this. I don't think that we do a real good job of trying to restore people. I think we need to. You know, they got mad at us, so we'll just get mad at them. That's somewhere in here, I'm sure. I'll have to look, but I'm sure it's in there. No, it's not. That's hogwash. Well, they talked bad about us when they were on their way out, so I spent the rest of my life talking bad about them. You know what? Get saved. Or get right with God. Honestly, good now. What is that junk? You know. And I really believe that I'm not saying everybody. I understand some people leave for the wrong reasons. You know what? They're not going to come back no matter what you're saying. If they did, they just try to stir up. I understand that that's the place. But I think what we do is we try to put everybody in that pile, and that's just not true. And people can be reclaimed, or there wouldn't be a Galatians 6:1 in the Bible. People can be restored, or there wouldn't be a Galatians 6:1. And people can be restored, or some of you wouldn't be sitting here. Amen. God's a God of a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Baptists are only we're only people of a one chance. Yeah. Now, all right, are you listening to me? What I'm doing is trying to fight against the mentality that creeps into our minds and our hearts, and it's not biblical, it's not right. And, you know, I just think if some of the kids, I'm talking about kids that graduated from here at one time, I'm not talking about kids that used to be here. If they had 5, 6, 7 Blessed Hope people in the next 5 or 6 weeks come by and see them and sit in their living room and say, listen. And by the way, I'm not sending you there to listen to their gripes. I'm not sending you there to okay their wrongdoing or okay their lifestyle. I'm sending you there to say, listen, we're having a special day. We love you. My preacher wanted me, told me, to to go find people like you, that he loves you, he wants to preach to you, he wants to see you again. There's school teachers that want to see you, there's Sunday school class teachers that want to see you, there's bus workers that want to see you. Come back and join us, and let's celebrate 35th anniversary of Blackstone Baptist Church. Now folks, let's do that. Let's do that. Now, if you'll do this for me, I'm going to work very hard at this myself. But you're going to know where people are that I don't know. You're going to know addresses that I don't have. You're going to know phone numbers. I would like to, as many of you as possible. And by the way, if you just come up to me and say, well, Brother Jerry, there was this kid, and he had red hair, and his name was Bill or Frank, I think, and I can't send a letter to that, you know, to a redheaded boy named Bill or Frank. You know, that's not going to work. Don't put more work on me. If God lays somebody in your heart, make the phone call, get the address, get the phone number. You do the legwork. It's a lot better for 150 of us to do the legwork than me and my wife to try to, you know, do all the legwork on this. So you make the phone calls, find out where they're at, give me an address. We'll send a letter. I'll send a personal invitation to them. As many as possible between now and then, I'll personally go see. But folks, listen to me again. You understand that we as a group can do more as any one person as an individual. I'll do the best I can. But if God laid them on your heart, he probably wants you to go see them. I'll try to go by and see them too, okay? But I will send them a letter if you give me an address. Family members. When I think of the word homecoming, I think of family. I would like every family in here to try to bring your extended family on that Sunday. Okay? So you know what? It's a church homecoming, but I want it to be a Ross homecoming. I want it to be a Asbury homecoming. I want it to be a Moomaw homecoming. I want my family here. I want as many family members. I'm talking about close. I'm talking about extended. I'm talking about invite them all over to your house afterwards, make them a meal, take them out to eat, do something with them. Make a point to go after your family. Remember when Pastor Ross preached about reaching our family members? Let's use homecoming as an opportunity to reach family members for the Lord. You know, I know that I invited you 20 times, but I want to invite you one more time. Listen, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts, cousins, everybody you can think of. Okay? And by the way, those homecoming prospects, I don't care if they're here or out-of-towners. I want to let them know what's happening here. We might have some that used to attend that would drive back just for homecoming, so it might be somebody that lives from out-of-town too. Okay? Every family, try to bring your extended family. And then let's just pray. Bathe it in prayer and ask God to let us see something sweet. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thanks for the time we've been able to spend. Lord, I pray, God, that as we take our burden and, Lord, our prayers, Lord, what we try to do with those two things is add to it tonight some motivation and some organization. And I think all these things are good and proper and important. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We do pray for our upcoming 35th anniversary and homecoming Sunday. Lord, we would love, love, love to see 500 people come to the property here. Lord, we'd like to see not just the three children's churches and the sanctuary service going on, but other services, Lord. Team service, all of the things we're planning, God, to accommodate these numbers. I pray, Lord, that you'd just do something sweet. I'd like it to be a day where we look back and celebrate 35 years of serving God in this place. And what better way to celebrate it than with a great harvest of souls coming to Jesus Christ, people being saved. So, God, I pray that you'd help us speak to our hearts. Lord, do something in each of our hearts. May we not lightly set aside the things that we've heard, God. May we get a burden. May we decide, God, that we want to be a part of this miracle and stir us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.